Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
It is amazing how quickly both the language and the ideas find their way into, well, just everyone's thinking. Whereas perhaps, oh, I suppose 50 years ago, the term gender would have been more properly found in the English classroom or in a foreign language classroom where gender belongs. It pertains to words and not to people. Now, gender is, well, it's a whole theory in and of itself, and we're told that it's a spectrum. It's a rainbow of things. You could be male or female. It's not just what you think about yourself, but what you think about yourself makes you what you are. We're going to be talking about transgender dogma and gender theory. Glenn Stanton joins us on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 8th. He's director of Global Family Formation Studies at Focus on the Family and author of the book Loving My LGBT Neighbor and a recent column for The Federalist titled Five Damning Inconsistencies in Transgender Dogma. Glenn, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hey, Todd, thank you. It's good to be with you.
When you see that everything that's being said, asserted, written about gender nowadays, what do you think the biggest myth that persists about it is?
Well, the toughest part of that question is narrowing it down to the biggest. But one of the big things is what you started with here, that there's a difference between sex and gender. You're absolutely right. Gender used to be part of language. I mean, that we would, you know, use gender to separate my maleness or femaleness or yours from the act of sexual intercourse in that sense. And, you know, we tend to think today the little cute explanation that we get is, no, sex is what's between your legs, gender is what's between your head. And it really does confuse and really change this idea of who we are. No, we cannot be something different in our heads than we are in our bodies. We are integrated people. And I am male all the way through, from my body, from the exterior, to my brain, to my, you know, heart, to the, you know, to the DNA inside of me, and that's true for everybody else. So first of all, I mean, don't fall for this lie that, well, I can be one sex, but I can be a different gender. That is just theory made up and based in real no scientific development or discovery.
You say that gender theory, when put to the test of real life, doesn't stand up very long because it is so riddled with internal inconsistencies. The first one you mention is that gender is a spectrum. What is this idea and what's inconsistent about it?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing, and I hear this on college campuses consistently, is that, well, there's a spectrum to gender. There's not just male and female, this binary situation. There's a whole host of, like you said, a rainbow of different genders. But then, as they say in the article, okay, show of hands, folks, you're out, you know, you're looking around, you're walking down the street, you see lots of different people. How many different types of genders do you see? You always see two. No matter where in the world you go, you see male and female. Now, there's 100 different ways to present yourself as a female, 100 different ways to present yourself as a male, but those are the only two games in town, is male and female. Regardless of where you go in the world, you do not find a spectrum of different genders. You find two. You find male and female, and there's a great diversity within male and female, but those are the only two models that, if you will, come out of the factory, male and female, boy and girl. It is binary.
Well, speaking of binary, that is just like within the last 15 minutes become a bad thing. that the difference between male and female, the stark difference, the contrast between those two, either or, the either or of that binary is now considered bad. But you say that LGBT require the binary. What do you mean by that?
Exactly. And you're right. I mean, you go to a college campus like I do a lot, and you speak to, you know, the gender studies students, and you say, I believe in a binary system, that there's only male and female. They will treat you like a flat earther. But you look at LGBT, and if you want to understand any of those things, they have to use a binary explanation. Okay, what is the L for? That's lesbian. Okay, what's a lesbian? It's a woman who only likes women. Well, who does she not like? She doesn't like men, you know? But isn't that binary? Because you're using the two sides to explain that. Same thing with the G, with gay. What does that mean? It's a man who is only interested in other men. Well, is he interested or not interested in anybody else? No, he's not interested in women, only men. See, they're the binary. Now we get to the good one, bi. Binary, bicycle, bifocal, it means two, you know, that illustrates the binary as well. And then we get to the T, trans, transgender. You're switching from one gender, male, to the other gender, female, and vice versa. In fact, within the trans community, they have this little thing to identify you. Are you an MTF or an FTM? That's male to female or a female to male. See, they use a binary system themselves. And if you, you know, raise your hand and ask that question, well, aren't you using a binary system to explain your own acronym there? And you can just see their eyes kind of glaze over like, wow, we've never thought about that before. And that's the point. They haven't thought about these things. It's pure theory that they're just making up. And like you said, in the last 15 minutes of human history, last millisecond of human history, I mean, they're just making this stuff up. And it doesn't connect with the way that humans really are throughout the world.
So the point there is that try as gender theorists and its practitioners might, they cannot escape the reality of the binary male and female. It's even woven into their very concepts, ideas, and even their language.
Yep, and that's exactly it. And they, you know, it's like scales on their eyes. They can't even recognize it. Now, the next thing is very fascinating because this is a big, big theory, is that gender is a social construction. And, you know, for what they mean by that is that you are male, I am male. Those people out in the culture who call themselves female, they're only that way because culture dictates that they should be that way. That there is nothing really natural or real in humans that makes them either male or female. But get to this, unless you're Bruce Jenner, who is really Caitlyn. Now, Caitlyn is really, truly a woman, and nobody who thinks otherwise is a good individual. Do you understand that? I mean, my maleness is just a social construct. It is only the appearance. But if I change my maleness to femaleness, then I am actually really objectively the woman that I think that I am. And when you bring this up to them, they're like, okay, wow, that's interesting. It's remarkable. So that the, if you will, natural male and female, what you are and all your listeners are, they say that you're not actually natural. But if you're unnatural in the trans way, they say that you're actually natural. I mean, it's this idea of just turning truth and turning humanity on its head. And this is precisely what these folks are doing. And there's so many kids on college campuses today where they're paying and their parents are paying good money to be taught this kind of stuff. I mean, there is no academic discipline on any college campus that is so contrary to reality and actually takes reality and turns it upside down like the gender studies department.
What do they do with androgyny?
Well, see, they'll tell you that androgyny is, you know, this idea that you're neither male or female, that that's very natural too, but it is not natural. You don't find androgynous people just developing. You know, nobody has a baby, and what is it, is it a boy or a girl? Well, actually, it's androgynous. You know, you think about David Bowie, you know, the way that he was able to dress up in a very androgynous way. Androgyny is so unnatural that it takes great effort and creativity to appear as an androgynous person. But the gender studies people will say that's part of the spectrum, that there are people that are androgynous. No, they're not. There are not androgynous clothing stores. There's not, I mean, there's just no place in the world, any culture that you go to, where we have three kinds of sexes. We have male, female, and an androgynous. Androgyny is not naturally occurring. It is in itself a social construct. It has to be created.
That's the irony here, is that claiming that our natural sex is merely a social construct, whether it's someone who tries to be androgynous or a man who tries to live as a woman or a woman who tries to live as a man, they end up opting for a pure social construct.
That's exactly right. And they have to go to great lengths to be able to do it. It is not an easy process. They have to go to great lengths. But on the other side, you have a little boy, you have a little girl, they grow up. You don't really have to teach them much and shape them and mold them much to be the little girl or the little boy that they are. It happens naturally. And now, you know, some of your listeners may be thinking, why are you even talking about this? I mean, this is so obvious. That's the point. There are so many people on college campuses today, and elite thinkers and, you know, musicians and actors and the quote-unquote beautiful people who really do go along with this crazy and upside-down way of understanding what humanity is. I mean, it's why President Obama is pushing his trans bathroom policy on every single public school in the United States, because they buy into this wacky kind of philosophy.
I mean, I don't want to appeal too much to the slippery slope, Glenn, but it is doesn't seem a great distance from mandatory transgender policies in bathrooms to going back to elementary school and saying, look, you just simply can't affirm these children as either boys or girls, because then you're assigning them a gender. And they're not old enough to know what gender they really are. So you cannot treat these children as either boys or girls.
Yep, and that's exactly right. Actually, it's mean and ugly and unfair to do that. So that's the bad part, is for those of us who claim, yes, there's only male and female, and males should be males, females should be males, even though, like I said earlier, there's 100 different ways to be a good man. I mean, Clint Eastwood is different than Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers is different than Clint Eastwood, but they're both very good kind of men. In fact, if you will, manly men. But this comes down to this idea that it is really threatening and challenging the very nature of humanity itself. And for Christians, I think it's very, very important for us to understand this, the creation nature of things. In the garden, Satan got Adam and Eve to doubt what the Word of God, certainly God, did not say. Now Satan is getting us not just to doubt the Word of God, but the image of God. God says this in Genesis 1, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. In the image of God, he created them. Not just humanity he made them, but male and female. And so Satan knows that male and female represent the image of God in the world. No other part of creation does that. Why would he not want to confuse us and change that? Because he knows that attacking that is attacking the very image of God in the world today. And we need to understand that this is not just the little latest skirmish in the culture war. This is a plan of Satan. Now, that doesn't mean that all the people out there teaching it are satanic or from Satan. I mean, Satan tempts us. He controls us, you know, to do wrong things. But Satan is definitely behind this, because it is a significant threat to us understanding the very nature of God himself.
Finally, then, Glenn, you say that this is not only simply made up, kind of made up on the spot. It is, in essence, wishful thinking on the part of transgender theorists. What do you mean by that?
Well, that's right. It is wishful thinking, because it does, I mean, my understanding, or like Bruce Jenner's understanding, that for all these decades, he's been a man, but no, he wants to be a woman, that's in his mind. There is no place within the human physicality, or that doctors could go in and say, okay, this is a transgender person. It is an issue within the mind, just like an individual. I mean, there is a psychological condition that, and it's got a very complex name, but this idea that people, you know, the leg that I have or the arm that I have is not my leg, it's not my arm. And so what these individuals will do is they will, in a chainsaw accident, or put their leg over a train track to have it mutilated so that it can be taken off. These are people who are in their mind, they feel like their leg, like their arm, is not a part of who they are. And so they'll go to great lengths to get that leg taken off. That's the same with the gender thing, except for the limb. It's, okay, this female part of my body or this male nature of my body, this is not who I am. I need to make these physical changes, do cutting, do surgery, take hormones, make these radical changes so that my body corresponds with what my brain says. But here's the data, here's the research, that people who undergo those very significant changes, it's unlikely to solve their problems. Because again, the problem is not in their body. Their problem is in their own understanding of themselves. It's not a physiological problem. It is a psychological, a mental, a self-understanding sort of problem.
We do have to recognize here, Glenn, that there are people who suffer under these ideas. Lies hurt people. And when people sadly believe lies or persuaded to believe lies, even about themselves, their own bodies, their own sex, this is going to lead to the kind of self-destructive behavior that you've described here, isn't it?
It really is. And I tell you what, I mean, as I deal with individuals like this, transgender people are some of the most tender, wounded, broken-hearted people, and you can just see them. And it brings, I mean, as you interact with them, it brings just nothing but compassion in your heart for them, not to agree with them, but to say, this is a deep, deep thing within you. And being talked into agreeing with a lie is not going to solve your problems. It's not going to solve your struggle. And that's exactly what you said. We don't help people by, you know, going along with a mistruth that they're living under. But you're absolutely right. I mean, these are broken people. These are wounded people. These are people that need our love and our compassion. And they're typically not, I mean, many that we meet in our community, they're not really activist types. I mean, they're just trying to make their life work and to live within the dysphoria, if you will. That's what the clinicians call the dysphoria between what their body is and what their brain thinks they are. And I think it's important for us in the church to come along and be compassionate with folks like that, to listen to their story, to understand where they're coming from, but help guide them into what the truth is about who they are and the way that God made us.
The real tragedy here, aside from the human tragedy you just described, is that the media, academia, cultural elites have all jumped so quickly onto this, well, essentially made-up gender theory. And look at the rest of us, Glenn, as though we're idiots for not realizing what they allegedly knew all along. This hasn't been around that long, but somehow people act as though, oh, of course, this is the way it's always been. Why are you so behind the times? Talk about that a bit, if you would.
Yeah, see, that is very, very important, and I wish it were that they would just see us as idiots. You know, it's really, no, you are a bigoted, hateful person responsible for the very high levels of suicide that these people undergo. I mean, there's so many false things in that, but that's the way that people like us who believe in the traditional nature of male and female are slimed with. But that's exactly right. I mean, it has only been in the last couple of milliseconds of human history that this idea has even proposed itself, that yes, males can be females, females can be males, and that, you know, gender and sex are very different. Much of it started at Johns Hopkins University in the 60s. And, you have it only taught in gender studies classes. And again, there is no science whatsoever, no objective scientific discovery that has convinced scientists, biologists, physiologists who have said, okay, now we need to change our way of thinking and realize that gender and sex are different. It is pure ideology rooted in no objective fact. And as I speak on college campuses and I encourage these gender studies students with that fact that it is pure ideology, I have never had one of them object to me saying that because they know it's true. It's just based in a philosophy and ideology of how they understand the world and how they wish the world to be, rather than objectively how it actually is. So, you know, we shouldn't be threatened when we have, you know, people with a PhD behind their name or somebody on TV really tells us, oh, no, this is actually the way it is. It's not. It's a fantasy, and they're living according to that fantasy, and we are being attacked when we refuse to go along with it.
Glenn Stanton is Director of Global Family Formation Studies at Focus on the Family, author of the book Loving My LGBT Neighbor, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Five Damning Inconsistencies in Transgender Dogma. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Glenn, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, you bet, Todd. Thank you so much.
On the other side of the break, it's often assumed that the Reformation doctrine of two kingdoms, that God rules the world in two different ways of governing through two different means and to do two different ends, is the same thing as the separation of church and state. Just so happens it isn't. And we're going to be talking about the separation of church and state versus the Reformation doctrine of the two kingdoms. Dr. Ben Mays will be our guest on the other side of this break and into hour two of Issues Etc.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. November the 1st through the 8th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale at cph.org and at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's Warehouse Sale, November the 1st through the 8th.